Good morning and welcome to our Sunday service. I have a citation from the Presbytery of St. Andrews. The Presbytery of St. Andrews will take up consideration of the Presbytery plan for the North Fife cluster at its meeting to be held on Wednesday, the 2nd of December 2020 at 7 p.m. via Zoom. There will be an order of the day at 7:30 for this item. The Presbytery hereby cites that a maximum of two representatives of the congregation be present, the Presbytery elder and one other. Representatives are invited to attend for their congregation's interest to hear the additions to the report. Details of who will attend at the meeting must be registered with the Presbytery office before 2 p.m. on Monday, the 30th of November, 2020. Signed, the Reverend John C. Duncan, Interim Presbytery Clerk. At our session meeting, it was agreed that the second representative to accompany Elizabeth Thompson, our Presbytery Elder, should be myself, the session clerk. Thank you. And now I will hand you over to Graham.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our worship. Our call to worship comes from the book of the prophet Habakkuk. He says, "Look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked, but the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God." Our first act of worship this morning is to light the Advent candle. Thank you for that, Catherine. We join in worship to sing our first hymn, "Make Way, Make Way."
Make way for Christ the King. In splendor arise. Fling wide the gates and welcome Him into your lives.
And our benediction this morning have been adopted and adapted by Tear Fund from the church in Ethiopia. Now let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Even if we cannot gather in person, we come to you, Emmanuel, God with us. Even if we have had to set aside tradition, we still call on you, Emmanuel, God with us. Even if we might not get to hug family and friends, we fall into your embrace, Emmanuel, God with us. Even if we cannot sing carols beside each other, our hearts sing for joy to you, Emmanuel, God with us. Even if we struggle to be of good cheer, we rejoice in you, Emmanuel, God with us. Holy Father, someday the burden of today's toil, the goings and the comings, the successes and failures, the hopes and despairs, you will transform into a new reality, a new blessing. We thank you that in this nation's struggle, your faithfulness is our grounds of hope and the viewpoint to a new horizon. Our struggles cast a shadow, and there are many more shadows to be crossed. In the light of hope and the shadow of pain, we greet you, Lord God. We confess our world is blessed with wealth, yet divided between haves and have-nots, where people live side by side, but where loneliness abounds. We confess we intentionally make bad choices when we tolerate destruction in the name of progress, when we exercise prejudice in making decisions, when we offer war as a resolution to dispute. Lord, we are shamed by those parts of the world which do not have what we take for granted: health care, clean water, safe schools, and whose people carry impossible burdens of finding hope and a place of safety in the face of conflict, climate change, and failing harvests. We are sorry for the turmoil in the Middle East, where the land that saw an outcast young mother deliver hope to the world is entwined in violence and hatred. Lord, forgive us when we put up obstacles to your kingdom instead of carrying hope and living out your promises. Lord God of the whole world, forgive us our sins and renew us in an extravagant love, radical hope, and abundant joy. And we join now with your church around the world in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, When Out of Poverty Is Born.
Find Our first reading today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, starting at verse 1 through to verse 9. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to help those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us, and you have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look upon us, we pray, for we are your people. Our next reading is from the book of Mark at chapter 13, starting at verse 24. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper be kept on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And so what I say to you all is, keep awake. Amen. And our next hymn is O Come, Emmanuel.
O come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears.
Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, here we are at the turn of the year, and the Christian year begins with Advent. It's a time of anticipation of the Christmas season, of preparation for the festivities, and of waiting. Those of us who no longer have young children at home may have forgotten how everything running up to the 25th of December can consume the thoughts of our young ones at this time of year. And for those who feel their emotions so keenly, the agony of waiting can become overpowering. Well, the church also waits and prepares to celebrate again the birth of Jesus and his promise to come again. 2020, of course, has had an altogether different kind of waiting. In a year blighted by coronavirus, we've been longing for a reduction in infection numbers, the arrival of a vaccination programme, and a return of something close to normality. And that burden of waiting has fallen on people in so many ways. The ongoing restrictions have meant that some have felt the isolation of not being able to meet with their wider family. For some, the burden is even heavier if they have had almost all physical contact cut. Those who have lost their jobs, and those who will over the next few months, apart from their financial loss, are more prone to mental ill health. Others have suffered illness or even bereavement from the effects of the disease. This year is one we will not forget. And on top of this, as with every season, there are those who are waiting for their own personal reasons, sometimes more significant to them than COVID. Some find themselves expectant, good news on the horizon, a cause for celebration, even if we can't physically share it. This season heightens the emotions. The waiting becomes more intense. When we reflect on our past experiences, we can see two clear kinds of waiting. The first is summarised in a reading from the book of Isaiah, our lectionary reading for today. We can glean that this and surrounding chapters were written as Israel is trying to find its feet after the return from exile in Babylon. In it, the prophet acknowledges the greatness of God, confesses the sin of the nation, accepts the judgment and rule of God in those famous words, "We are the clay, you are the potter," and finally implores God to end the long wait for restoration of the nation and its relationship with him. And is it not the case that when we pray, in public at any rate, we so often sidestep this kind of prayer, even though when we are in such trying times as this, it's often at the forefront of our minds. This kind of waiting where all is out of our control. It's a time when we may, along with the prophet, feel that God is far from us. And yet the story of the gospel is that God meets his people in adversity. Israel, once returned from exile, find itself in an internal exile, subject to oppression by foreign powers, in turn Persians, then Greeks, and now Romans. It is into this world that Jesus comes and encounters and transforms the reality of people who, in whole or in part, represent the situation of Israel. At the wedding in Cana, they have run out of wine, and Jesus supplies wine in excess. At Capernaum, the roof comes off the house, and just as the divide between heaven and earth are torn away, the paralyzed man finds healing in the presence of Jesus. On the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the spirits called Legion, the name of the occupying forces, are rejected from a son of Israel. On the Lake of Galilee, Jesus calls the disciples, now aimless and despondent, to cast their nets to a catch that represents every country in the world. And on the shore, Peter the abandoner, Peter the unreliable witness, finds forgiveness and commission. And Jesus meets people when they are at their deepest point of distress. He meets the Roman centurion who, despite his power and authority, is helpless to save his servant. He meets the bleeding woman, who has lost much of her life and money, respect and place in society to her illness. And he meets the disciples in the boat, in the face of a storm. And he comes with feeding to 5,000 on a hillside. But here's the thing. What is most important is that Jesus lets us know he's with us in the depths. When Mary is weeping by an empty tomb, he calls out her name. When Peter is foundering, drowning in the water, he reaches out his hand. When the disciples are confused and crushed on the road to Emmaus, he explains. He breaks bread. And what Jesus is doing in lives is transfiguring the suffering or hardship or desperation. Sometimes he changes the situation. Sometimes he gives a whole new way to see the world that we wait in. And renewal that we receive is the revelation that God is with those whose wait is marked by suffering. And with this God, the future is always bigger than the past. But sometimes our waiting is not a yearning for release from our present plight, but rather a longing for a promise anchored in the future, an expectation of coming events rather than release from our present situation. A planned meeting with our family, the celebration of an anniversary, the birth of a child. It's this excitement of a birth that diffuses through our Advent celebration. The promise of new life, the expectation of change, a looking forward to fulfillment and the unveiling of a bright future are all tied up in the waiting. It's all excitement enough to see past the pain of labour. So when he speaks to his disciples in Mark 13, as Catherine read earlier, Jesus is warning of a time of trial and tribulation. The early church, first reading the gospel in the second half of the first century, was already awaiting the return of Jesus. Jesus, in his other apocalyptic later in the same gospel, uses this metaphor of childbirth for the times ahead. But Jesus is in no way telling us to sit and wait. On the contrary, he calls us to remember all that he has said and taught, the words that will never pass away as he describes them, the commands for kingdom living. They're not for some future time when all is fulfilled, but for now, as part of that very fulfillment. The early church was becoming caught up in the expectation of the return of the Messiah, when his work would come to completion and a new order established. But to Jesus, there's no abrogating responsibility, no excuse for passive waiting. The disciples are not merely witness to events, they are active participation in them. The will of God is being done in and through what they do. This then is both a warning and an encouragement in the face of difficult times. Our own church community is caught up in the mixture of lament and expectation. We mourn what we have lost, our shared worship and the physical contact of a living community. We are waiting, waiting for a vaccine, for life without restrictions, for the dawn of a new day to dispel our present darkness. And on top of that, the church is undergoing accelerated change. The presbytery citation read by Francis earlier is part of the process to rebuild the church to meet present circumstances, constraints, and challenges. We find ourselves in an increasingly secular society where we find families not one, but much more often two generations removed from any connection with the church. The church itself is constrained by falling income and a shortage of ministers, and yet is challenged to show the gospel in word and deed in its wider community. And the warning of Mark's gospel is clear. Do not wallow in lament for what is passing, but listen to and live out the life that Jesus puts before us. And there is no prescription, no panacea, no vaccine to protect us against the trials of an ever-changing world. The self-giving Christian makes us vulnerable, forces us to reassess what we value and what we need to let go of. But the thing that makes it more challenging and exciting is that we do not have a formula for success. We have to work it out for ourselves, but not by ourselves. Because when we open up to the Spirit and make ourselves vulnerable to that change, we have the guidance and the power of God to work that change in our work and witness. The prophetic writer in Isaiah chapter 40 summed it up. I will wait upon the Lord. This waiting is no lament for what is past, nor is it a passive expectation of the future before us. It is the thoughtful, prayerful, active involvement in God's loving purposes for us. In a world defined currently by waiting, this is the waiting that you and I need to be doing, because it's in the time when we are feeling crushed that we find the outstretched hand of the one who took his place beside us in our suffering, who calls our name, who reassures us of his presence, who shows us the way forward, sometimes only one step at a time, yet sharing with us the confidence that he is with us every step of the way. Amen. We now join in a more modern worship song inspired by those very words from Isaiah chapter 40. The hymn is Everlasting God.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our storm deliverer. Yeah. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. Yeah.
we come together in our prayers of dedication for our offerings and our prayer of intercession. Let's pray. Father God, you are always giving and forgiving, and we are always getting and forgetting. Lord God, take these offerings that we give to you. May they be a blessing to your kingdom. Through them will Jesus' name be praised in our community and beyond. Listening God, we thank you that you are God with us, that we can glimpse your kingdom around us, that we can see signs of you in our world, that we can be part of your story. God, we wait and we listen. We hope for what is not seen. Shine the light of your kingdom into the darkness of our world. Listening God, will you come into the darkness of today's world, to the places where once you walked among us, but are now places of despair, conflict, and occupation. Be with those whose stories we have heard and the countless others whose voices are silenced. Help us to be a voice of peace, to speak out against oppression, to share the real Bethlehem with others this Advent. Bring your wisdom to a situation which seems to have no end. God, we wait and we listen. We hope for what is not seen. Shine the light of your kingdom into the darkness of our world. Listening God, will you come into the darkness of our community, to the people living with fear and worry, to the people whose Advent is not full of joy, to the people needing support. Open our eyes to the situations all around us that we do not see, and open our minds to the ways we can respond. God, we wait and we listen. We hope for what is not seen. Shine the light of your kingdom into the darkness of our world. Listening God, will you come into the darkness of our lives, to our human doubts and feelings, the times when we do not live out our faith, the situations we have not used our power to change. Help us to be as open to you as you were to us, when you were as vulnerable as a baby, trusting in the world for your safety. Show us glimpses of your kingdom. Help us to reveal your story. Reveal to us our part in your Advent hope. God, we wait and we listen. We hope for what is not seen. Shine the light of your kingdom into the darkness of our world. We seek your blessing, God. Let the youth become strong and the grown man maintain his strength. The pregnant woman be delivered and the woman who has given birth suckle her child. Let the stranger come to the end of his journey and those who remain at home dwell safely in their houses. Let the flocks that go to feed in the pastures return happily. May you be a moon of harvest and of calves. May you be a star of joy and happiness. May you be a night of restoration and good health. God, you sent the people to the ends of the earth to preach and teach the gospel of your kingdom, to heal all the diseases and sicknesses which are among your people, and to proclaim the mystery hidden from before the beginning of the world. Send upon us now your light and righteousness. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts and of our understanding. Make us worthy to persevere in hearing the word of your holy gospel, and not only to hear, but to do according to what we hear, so that it may bear good fruit in us, remaining not one only, but increasing 30, 60, and 100-fold. And forgive us our sins, us thy people, so that we may be worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. We close our worship with the Advent hymn, Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus. If you are able, please stay for a chat after the service. But we close this morning's worship with a blessing, which is inspired by the words of Paul to the church in Rome. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May we abound in the hope of the prophets, imagining another way. May we abound in the hope of a mother, singing revolution. May we abound in the hope of an infant, the incarnation of love. May we abound in the love that builds hope today. And may we live in the presence of Jesus through a hopeful Advent and a comforting Christmas.